Good morning. Thank you. Our scripture today comes from the Hebrew text, the Old Testament, the third chapter of Exodus. Slightly different than what's in the bulletin because I changed it at the last minute. Exodus 3, verses 1 through 6, and then skipping to verse 14. And today I'm using the Message translation. The words will be on the screen. I invite you to listen with your hearts and your minds to a story that's very familiar to us. Try to listen with fresh ears. Let us hear the ancient words. Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out of the middle of a bush. He looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, "What's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up?" God saw that he had stopped to look. God called to him from out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Yes, I'm right here." God said, "Don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, afraid to look at God. And moving on to verse 14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am, sent me to you." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us, thanks be to God. I invite you, if you will, to gather together as we pray. O great Jehovah, come now into this place. Fill us, O God, with your presence. Fill us with your grace. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For we, your sons and daughters, are here to listen. Amen. Today we begin that great season of listening. And we begin a whole sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And our first lesson is, who is God? We're in the season of Lent that began on Wednesday with our Ash Wednesday service. And in this season, we're looking at fasting and giving alms or giving help to those who need it and preparing our hearts through prayer, meditation, and other disciplines. Is that season of moving toward Easter? Is that season of moving away from those obstacles that we have placed between us and God? It is that season of reflection, that season of turning away, that season of introspection. We've just finished a season of back to the basics of what does it mean to be a United Methodist in the great Christian tradition, and we're opening up that funnel. We've narrowly looked at Methodist beliefs, and now we're looking at those beliefs that all Christians throughout the ages have proclaimed as we look at the Apostles' Creed. And we're beginning with the very first thing the Apostles' Creed say is, what do we know about God? Belief. What is belief? How is that different? It's different than our opinions and our thoughts. It's not just a mental assertion. Belief is those things that guide us, those things that help us make decisions about our lives. I think of belief as a lens through which we have our perspectives on the world. Belief is our deeply held convictions that guide our sense of who we are, whose we are, and how we make those deep decisions of our lives. Belief is more than just an assent to a set of propositions. Belief also tells us more about our identity. Beliefs are like roots to a tree that holds us still in the midst of life's storms. They give us life. They give us anchor. They give us holding on when all things around us seem to be tearing us apart. Belief is a directional arrow that sets us on a course. And belief is what tells us how the universe operates. For many years, the belief was that the earth was flat, and that if you sailed, you would fall off. And over time, those beliefs had to be changed based on experience. And we know that the earth is not the center of the universe anymore. So our beliefs can change over time as our experiences change. And Wesley taught us that through looking at Scripture as primary, we can use our reason and our tradition and our experiences to help us shape our beliefs. So we come to that moment of looking at that first sentence of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Why do you believe in God? Do you even believe that there is a God? Or is that just something you say because it's good to say because, well, heck, you're in church. Because we forced you to say it just a few minutes ago. Or are you questioning that? Or have you ever questioned that in your life? I believe in God. Are you doubtful? You know, there are folks in the world who say there is no God. There's no way that there's an intelligent being that created all things. That life started as a combustible point, a singularity, a big bang. I find this interesting as I was getting ready. John Lennox, an Oxford mathematician, has calculated the odds of self-organization happening. In other words, of life just happening on its own. I have to look at this. The odds of life happening all by itself is 1 times 10 to the 40,000th power. Okay? In other words, astronomer Fred Hoyle says that's the odds of a gale force wind going through a junkyard and at the end of it a Boeing 747 suddenly appear. Yeah. Now these are people a lot smarter than me, right? So the odds of that happening are very, very slim. It's kind of like if I had a table here and I put out milk and eggs and cake flour and cocoa powder and I said, poof, make a cake. While that cake, chocolate cake, would be nice, the odds of that happening sometime between now and the time we finish communion, it ain't going to happen, right? But God is the creator of all things. God can do anything that God wishes to do in whatever manner God wishes to do it. God can take a singularity point and cause it to happen. I believe in God. I believe in God. And I don't care what math you bring to me or scientific fact you bring to me, that you're not going to change my mind on that. And I am a science junkie. I studied it. I taught it. I know the scientific principles. They're elegant. The math is exquisite. I know how life began. The mere fact that you can take two half cells and they can come together and join and their DNA can combine and those cells can begin to multiply and divide and divide and then there is this wonderful, beautiful child. You cannot tell me that God did not design that. You cannot tell me that out of a single cell that divided and divided and divided and we get the forest, that God did not design that. You cannot tell me that there's oxygen in the air that sustains life, that God did not design that. You cannot tell me that the beauty of a mountaintop sunrise did not come from a creative God. You cannot tell me that the ocean depths full of fishes and life and algae and all that did not come from a creative God. And you cannot tell me that when I stand at the bedside of a dying saint who has lived for Christ all of her life, and she sees the Almighty God as she passes to the everlasting life, that there is not a God. And you cannot tell me that on Easter morning, when he got up out of that grave and said, "Death, you cannot have me or my people anymore," that there is not a God. And you cannot tell me that in the depths of my deepest trials, when I thought all hope was lost, when I thought my life was at the very end, when my heart has been breaking and a shattering pieces, and I felt the divine presence say, "Pat, I got you," that there is no God. When I have heard the worst news in my life, when my brother took his life, and I had to bear the hell of that week, yet God cradled me in God's arms, you can't tell me there is no God. And when I have seen an addict lay down the burden and become whole, you can't tell me there is no God. And you can't tell me when I've seen a young child grow from that wonderful toddler into a rambunctious, rebellious teenager that I thought we were going to kill and it was going to be justified when we went to court, who now stands on the battlefield for our country so that we can have freedom to be here today, that there is no God. Bring on your math, bring on your science, you're just not going to convince me anymore that there is not a God who loves us beyond measure, who will continue to love us till eternity is over, who loves us so very much that left the splendor of heaven to come and live among us, to teach us, to heal us, to feed us, to guide us, and then to die for us and to rise for us. I believe in God. Period. Who is the God Almighty, and in whose very being we have the source of our life. Who called to Moses from the burning bush, and that bush did not consume. Who gave Moses the name of who God was. I am. I am. I am so that you are. I am so that you will ever be. I am so that grace is alive. I am so that you may have everlasting life. I am who I am. And we cannot even begin to conceive the vastness, mighty sovereignty of God. I believe in God. I believe. My convictions, my life, my decisions are all based on this God. God, wonderful, sovereign, majestic, awesome, loving God, the creative God. So, there's some things we need to think about. Some things I challenge you to think about over the course of this week and the weeks of Lent. And those things are in forms of questions. I know, you're surprised. First, is God the source of your being, or is God just a set of mental propositions to you? Is God the true source of your being? Or is this just something you think about, or just some mental assertions for you? Second question. Does your belief in God influence your decisions? Truly, does what you believe in God influence your decisions? If so, how? I mean, all your decisions. How you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you go about relating to yourself and others. And finally, are there obstacles blocking your relationship with God? In other words, have you taken the sandals off your feet? Are you standing on holy ground with God? Or do you have something blocking that relationship? And if so, are you willing to release them during this Lenten season to God's grace? Are you willing to humble yourself before the God Almighty who has created you, who has loved you forever and ever, and will continue to love you? Are you willing to get on your knees and say, I surrender to God Almighty? I pray that during this Lenten season, we will have the courage to not only proclaim God as God and to believe in God, but to surrender to that God. Thanks be to God. Amen.